Spectacular Diagnostics.
Hello and welcome back to Cycling More, your cycling informant. Today we are doing another one of our 2023 season reviews. I'm delighted to be joined by Matthias Skelmoser of Little Trip. Matthias, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for welcoming me. I'm super happy to be here.
How are you?
No, I'm really good. I came good into the new year and winter training is going good, so I'm happy.
Where in the world are you today?
I'm in Andorra.
At home now or on camp?
No, home.
And that's a recent move, yeah?
Yeah, I moved here 1st of December. I got the apartment, so quite recently.
Is that down in Andorra Vella or is that up a bit?
Nah, it's in camp, so pretty much between La Vella and Soldeo where most of the guys live.
Nice. And you know a lot of the, I assume you know a few of the locals.
Yeah, I do. I got a lot of teammates, a lot of Danish friends as well. So I'm for sure not alone.
Excellent. Okay, right. So going back to the start of the season, actually going back to the year before 2022, it was an incredibly successful season for you. 3rd in Provence, 5th in Occitanie, 3rd in Tour de Wallonie, 8th in San Sebastian, 2nd in Tour de Lan, 3rd in Tour Denmark, 1st professional win in Luxembourg, followed by the GC win, 10th in Worlds in Australia. Probably could have been better in Worlds. It looked like it was going to be better for quite a long time. You approached this season with pressure, I would say, compared to previous years. How did you notice that? How did you deal with that?
No, yeah, of course there was pressure. But for me, I always put more pressure on myself than the team is doing. And when I always did that, I didn't feel more pressure than usually because I always want to perform my best. I always want to push the limits of what I can do. And I think for me, the team was just as surprised as I was about my great season in 22, but I was just more motivated after these performances. You know, I got a late win and then stopped the season, not early. I had the Lombardia, but I had a quite bad performance in Lombardia. I think after Worlds, my head just went off. And then, you know, that just kept me hungry for 2023.
So you start the season in Bessèges and you start fast. As I said, it was towards the end of 2022 was your first ever professional win and you follow that up almost immediately. You win the mountaintop finish. Unfortunately, you just miss out on the GC win, losing by a second in the final time trial to Paulus. Despite finishing second, did you leave that race happy because you had another victory or was it a little bit sad because you lost in the final time trial?
No, of course I was sad. But I did what I could on the day. I didn't make any technical mistakes. I just didn't have more in the legs. And that made me a little bit more calm. You know, it was not because I could even wear my normal suit. You know, if I had to wear the leader's suit, then I would probably be annoyed. But I was there with everything I could do. And of course, it was annoying to win, especially by only 1 second. But in the end, that's how it was. And Paulus was super strong. And he just was the best on the day.
And most people say that is a particularly horrible time trial.
Yeah, it's painful. It's early in the season, especially because Bessèges is such a hard race. And then your recovery skills is not super at that point, and you just have bad legs. And I think some of the worst thing you can do in cycling is doing a time trial with bad legs and or tired legs for that sake. And then having this wall in the end to finish up is really... it's really a nasty time trial.
So then, again, straight away, you're still in France, Alpes-Maritimes, and another win, another stage victory. This time, I think it was it a reduced sprint.
Yes.
How did it feel? You know, you'd waited a little while for your first professional victory, and then all of a sudden, you get the two in Luxembourg. You start the next season, you get one, you get another one. You must have been full of confidence.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it really confirmed that we did something good this winter. And I was just happy. You know, I doubled my win from 2 to 4 in less than 7 race days, I think. So it was a really nice start to the season, and of course, it gave me a lot of confidence going into Paris-Nice, which was my first big goal of the last year. So yeah, it was a good start to the season.
Harry Nice didn't go exactly according to plan. You lost time on Loge de Garde, and then you crashed out of the race on stage 7. You are usually an incredibly consistent rider. Certainly, 2022, you didn't have many bad days. You start 2023, it's the exact same. How did you cope with it not going according to plan in Paris-Nice?
For me, it was annoying, but also with that in mind that on Col du Gard, I think you said it was, I had a puncture, so I had to finish on the Shimano bike, and on Criolo I had a crash, and for me, I'm always thinking, it was not a bad day, I just had bad luck, so I tried to push it away, and even though I might not have felt super great, I tried to push the put everything on excuses instead, to not blame myself. But yeah, of course it was annoying because, yeah, I was going through quite a hard moment there. I broke up with my girlfriend quite after, and I was quite in a tough mental state also. So yeah, it was tough. But for me, it's always been after the toughest moments, I always pick myself up and go higher. So sometimes I need these low moments to actually become a better rider.
I saw you mention in another interview that this season you've changed a couple of things. The team have added nutritionists in, well, certainly last season, 2023, and altitude camps. What differences, certainly working with a nutritionist, what differences have you put in place?
For me, I learned how to lose weight in a proper way. And that was a really main thing in my preparation for Swiss and for the tour for that sake. I lost almost 3 kilos compared to the Ardennes. And one of the things I struggled a lot with this the last couple of years was the heat. And without doing any specific things other than losing some kilos, I went from okay, not being great, but from being terrible to quite decent. And that was the main thing about working nutritionist I was surprised about. And also, just for me, I'm really perfectionistic, so it's not all about losing weight, it's also just about weighing the food so you get exactly what you need after training and how you can recover better so you can train harder and stuff like this. And I think it's just really to optimize every part you can to be the best cyclist as possible.
And I liked the way you said that they added it in, or you and the team added it in this year. So it wasn't everything all at the same time, right at the start of your professional career, which I think, looking at from the outside, it seems like a very sensible thing to do.
No, I mean, it's more me and my coach decision. It's a nutritionist externally I use, and we always had the plan that we need to have a long and good professional career. And that means we cannot put everything at once. We still need to have some buttons to turn, and still we haven't pushed everything yet. But we're getting closer to that point. But I'm also getting an age now that yeah, I'm not reaching like the normal top of cycling, but people getting so young, performing so good already, we need to push the buttons. And for me, it's great to have something in mind always. Also, like when you have a bad day, you always can think, okay, I can get better. I know I have some buttons to turn still, and that's a good for your head to have these things.
And how did you find altitude camps this season?
No, I like going to altitude because for me it's like taking an extra step in preparation, and it sounds funny, but what I love about cycling is actually preparing to a race more than racing it. I really like to see how you shape just growing and how you lose weight, and I really love going to altitude. Of course, it's not the best all the time, but like this camp, I prepare really good with good friends, and my coach is always good to come and visit me and making it a lot easier. But I like to do altitude, and it is something I will do a lot more this year.
Because before Basque Country and GP and Giraine, you were at altitude, weren't you?
Yeah, but that was at the hotel in Denia. We wanted to try it for for the future, because obviously you can train a lot harder because it's actually at sea level, and then you sleep in the rooms. That was actually the one I found the most difficult, because you really have to stay in the hotel room, you know. And compared to like normal altitude, you can actually take a walk or and still being and getting the benefits of altitude. So that was a little bit tough for me, or tougher at least. And but yeah, we did it before Windowine, and funny enough, it was actually the race I had the best legs all year, I think.
And then Basque Country was going very, very well. You were sitting third on GC, heading into what is possibly the hardest stage of any race throughout the whole season. You didn't have a great result. What happened? Stage six, Eibar.
No, I felt straight away it wasn't my day, and I actually felt it already day before. We had a small steep kick just before the finish, and I was actually dropped. I managed to get back there, and thought it was just a bad day. But then the day after again, I really paid the price. I just had a bad day from the beginning, and it was just going all out all day. It was really a terrible day. I cannot tell you what happened other than just a bad day.
But you're young, and I suppose if that happened on a kind of easier stage, you have a bad day, you can get away with it. When it happens on the Queen stage, there's a problem.
You see in the results that you had a bad day.
So then it's the Ardennes, where you're probably surprised a lot of people with, again, the level of consistency. Eighth in Amstel, second in Flèche, ninth in Liège. I think for everybody, your performance in Flèche was incredible. You weren't too far behind Pogacar. How did you find that week of racing?
No, I already really liked the Ardennes, and I just fell in love with them even more after this year. I really like the type of racing and how it is, and of course, the second place in Flèche helped a lot. That was, I would say, my breakthrough, like big breakthrough on the world tour scene, and it meant a lot to me to have that second place, and also because I was so motivated, you know. I already told the guys before the race that if they delivered me perfectly, I would do the podium. And to actually deliver from what you're saying is quite a special feeling.
How did you find the battle for position and going into the final time up Muir Dhui?
No, I think we did great. Bauke took me in his will and brought me in perfectly. And I know I got a lot of shit for not being in super position, some people would say, but I think the reason why I had such a kick in the end was because I didn't went over my limit and actually lost some position on purpose. Because if you see, like in the bottom of Wii, just when you turn in, I'm in second row. Then I go a little bit further down because I know I have a really good kick if I'm not going in the red already. So it was a risk, but I kept it a little bit below what the other guys went, and then I pushed it, and everything went to plan. Maybe it could have been good if, you know, we had one guy putting the tempo and putting a little bit slower than it was, and I started it better. But for me, I would not have been Pogacar no matter what.
Yeah, I think most people would say
Yeah.
that. How did you find the fans? Did you notice it at that moment, or are you just so involved in the race that you can't kind of hear the fans cheering?
You know, I don't think you really think about it when you're going full gas up, but when you look back, you really realize, like from the recon to the race, it's such a different atmosphere. You know, people are screaming and but you're just going in your zone, so you're focusing so much just to get on top of the hill as fast as possible that, at least for me, I don't recognize what's going on the side until after, where I was thinking like, and actually watching the replay of the last case even more. You know, you see there was that many people, and you just don't see it in your head.
Now, after Ardennes, you have a gap before Tour de Suisse. I mean, it's not quite 2 months, but it's nearly. Do you have any time off the bike at that point, or are you straight into another training block?
I took a week off the bike straight after the dance, and then Straight from the break, I went to altitude.
Where was this
So
altitude? Where was altitude this time?
in Andorra again. And then I was there 15 or 16 days. Then I went down for a week with the first 3 days doing recon in the Alps of the tour, and going home for a couple of days, and then going back up again for 18 days or something. Coming down a few days before Swiss, doing recon of Col de l'Alloz, and then directly to the race.
So Tour de Suisse is an incredible race for you. Your first World Tour win, a World Tour stage race, one of the hardest World Tour stage races that are tinged with sadness because obviously Gino died. You were in race lead when that happened, so you had to do a lot of interviews, whereas other people didn't have to do that. So every day you were there in the kind of media spotlight, having to answer very difficult questions. Taking your win, first of all, it was a very, very impressive victory, Villars-sur-Allon. It must have been so pleasing for you to get that first World Tour win, proper mountaintop finish as well.
Yeah, that's it. A lot of people is not sure about my climbing abilities, and I understand why. So it was really important for me to get this win. And even if I was on the podium, just following Remco on a climb like this was really impressive. And I also have to say I did the best performance of my life that day. You know, I watched the power meter after and understand why I could win, because it was just numbers I never pushed before. And but it was a really important win, especially for my head and for my future, to show people I can actually perform good on a mountaintop finish.
And then the final time trial, you go in, and I'll be honest, watching it, I was worried after the first 5, 10K. I don't know what the initial plan was, but you were behind. And I think most of us watching it who like you were thinking that, oh dear, it's a bad day, but you seem to judge it perfectly. You improved throughout the time trial. You actually finished third in the time trial. You held on to the GC lead quite comfortably, I think. Was it the plan to go out a little bit slower, or was that just something that happened?
Yeah, the plan was like normally I don't know why, but the second part of the time trial my legs just open up always. I can't tell you why, but yeah, I was not on a super day in the beginning. I went a little bit less than pacing plan, and I was struggling to keep it up. You know, I think Kim was nervous also. He was in the car behind me, and he didn't tell me the times. But unfortunately, on World Tour time trials, you have big signs over every time check saying how much you're behind. So I know what was going on. But then we hit the climb, and you know, I risked it. I think I was one of the only guys doing a one by chain ring, because I know, like, when you I spoke with Mass about this, sometimes when you only have the option to go fast over a climb, it just helped. So I put this setup, and I just started opening up on the climbs. I had great legs, did a really good performance there, and you know, I knew already that doing 2Ks more on the climb is more important doing 2Ks an hour more on the flat, and that was what the plan was. And yeah, in the end, it just worked out perfectly. You know, we had a big fight with the organization about the TT suit, because it was Q365, and normally you have to be able to give the best product possible, and it was not the same suit as the team they actually have the name sponsor as. So it was going on for a big fight, but in the end, we didn't win this fight, and that also probably fueled me a little bit, because I was so pissed that and I knew I was having a worse start point than my competitors.
And to win the GC, you know, you said flesh was your big moment. This was even bigger. You know, this kind of put you at the top table in cycling. You've won a very, very difficult 1 week stage race. It must have been so pleasing for you. All the hard work, all the preparation to kind of reach this level.
Yes, for sure. Because I wasn't expecting it either. You know, I was talking with Kim about with the shape I had, I could do a podium spot. Yeah, I was lucky, and then going to win is quite special. But I have to say, like the flash second place was a big emotional feeling for me. I don't know why. Of course, Swiss was really important, but I also think like. I had so much after with media doping control that I almost missed my flight home. So I was so stressed that I couldn't really enjoy it until the day when I arrived home, and there was everything was gone, and you couldn't really celebrate with your teammates. And I know 100% it was the biggest win on my CV and probably the most important for my career. But I didn't get to enjoy it as much as I hoped to do.
And obviously, Gino's death during the race had a massive impact on everybody. As I mentioned, you're there having to do interviews almost every single day. That must have been incredibly challenging. How did his death affect you in the race?
In the race, it didn't affect me that much, you know. I was so much in the zone, and you know, I just kept with the fact that Gino's family wanted us to race. But I felt like in the tour, it messed with my head, especially on downhills. I remember clearly on the Col de la Loze stage, we had two quite nasty downhills before Col de la Loze. And I was going so slow downhill because I just got Gino in my head, and like you feel like it can happen to you. But honestly, I didn't think about it until then, and I don't know why it just suddenly came out. It was just I think in Swiss I was in such a weird position because I was so filled with joy, and then such an emotional thing happened right after, and you don't know how to feel, and you try to put yourself away, not to get to just lose it completely. And I can't describe it. Looking back, it was just something undescribable because you saw him in the peloton the day before, and then it's just like, okay, he's out of the race. He's just not there anymore. And that's Yeah, it's weird to think that, you know, it's such a dangerous sport we live in, because you don't think that when you race.
And that hammers at home, even for us fans watching, where you riders are encouraged to take crazy risks going downhill in particular, because us the fans, you know, it gets the views on YouTube, it gets people looking at on social media, whether it's Pidcock flying down a descent in Tour de France. You know, it's almost as if the fans have to change what they want to see.
No, I mean, I wouldn't blame it on the fans, but it's also us, you know, because like then we go up a super hard climb, and then somebody have to risk it just to go back to the group. But I mean, as long as climbing is a part of cycling, downhills will also be a part of cycling. And I mean, it's probably not also safe going on the cobbles in Roubaix. It's not the same speed, but you still hurt yourself. And you know, we had mass. In Roubaix this year, riding the last 20Ks with a broken front wheel, where you could see through the carbon, and I mean that's also not safe. But we just don't think about it. I think it's more us as riders that we just push it so much, and then small mistakes happen, and unfortunately, very few times it's with this outcome. But yeah, it's something we have to live with, unfortunately.
Then you move on to your nationals, where I read also you said this was your best win of the season, winning the road race. Did you
Yeah,
puncture on the time trial? Is that right?
I did.
So you potentially could have done the double. I think you were 28 seconds down in the time trial, so it would have been close.
Would have been close for sure.
How pleasing was that winning at home? That must have felt very, very good.
Yeah, it was really special because we was the big favorite as a team going into the race. We were only three guys. We did a lot of work to make the perfect situation for us. for the end of the race with not having UNOX in the break. And we completed that first phase, and then both me and Mass had great legs. And yeah, fortunately for me, a lot of people look more to Mass than to me, and that was my chance to perform. And yeah, it's just a combination of the national jersey, going to the tour for the first time, and it just meant a lot, so much to me.
So you go to the tour. I remember seeing a lot of pressure, particularly from the Danish media, talking about you, GC, GC, GC. I think the team tried to say, we're not focused on GC. You know, we're just going to see how it goes. You started very well. First five stages were excellent. You are finishing with the GC group. In fact, the stage five to Laurent, the one Hindley won from the break, you actually win the sprint from, like, well, Vingegaard came first and then you won the sprint behind. So things are going incredibly well. And then it starts to fall away. You've mentioned before about round about that point in a Grand Tour, you start to feel, whether it's fatigue or recovery. I know the team had taken pressure off you and saying it's not GC, but I assume you were still quite disappointed to fall out the GC picture when you did.
Yeah, of course. I wanted to do GC. I'm not trying to hide that. And I had a small crash on the Marie Blanc stage in the beginning, where I hit my back quite bad. I cannot say if it was because of that I would be dropped. I would love to say that it was only because of that. I think it was a combination. Yeah, I don't know why. Like, just the sixth, seventh day, I just have a block. I don't know why. Because then again in the third week I perform really good, and I cannot tell you why. I just have that, like, barrier I need to overcome. We try to work on this in training and try to do stuff that can improve my recovery, but we just don't know why it's happening there. It's really frustrating for me.
But I think it must be very hard to simulate a week of Grand Tour racing, and then, you know, that must be a big challenge.
Yeah, you know, we don't try to simulate a week of Grand Tour training. I think we just try to improve my recovery with, like, going more to altitude, having a bigger load of lower intensity work, to really build up my base bigger, and try to see if the body just naturally can recover more easily. And that's what we try out now, and we will only have the answer in the Vuelta, but my fingers are crossed for it working.
But I would say you are following, I am of a certain age where I have seen riders come through probably in a different generation, and you are following that traditional route. And it's just that in the last 5 years, we have these ridiculously talented young riders who seem to be able to go straight into doing a 3 week block without fading away, whereas traditionally you had to do a number of Grand Tours before you had the engine to then go and challenge, which I think hopefully will be the case for you in Vuelta. Yeah,
that's what I hope so as well. I almost look bad when you see the Wonder Kids going so well, and I'm the same age as Remco, but he's just so much better than me, and also other young guys really performing. I also and Utjebroks in some way as well. And of course it's annoying that, fuck, these guys, they just destroy me if we get more than 7 weeks, and I can actually be more than competitive with them if we just do 5 days. So yeah, it's something we're working on. We know it's my biggest problem right now in cycling, and for me, as long as I'm conscious about I'm having this problem and we work on it, I'm comfortable. Maybe someday we'll have to say, okay, I'm just not a Grand Tour rider, but that day haven't come yet. So we are still working on the dream.
You're too young for that. So
yes, that's it.
Glasgow, did you enjoy it?
From kilometer 170 to kilometer 30, I loved it. The rest, not so much.
What did you think of the city centre circuit?
I mean, when you did the tactic we did, I think it was quite nice. I think if you were position 15, you hated it. But for me, it was quite a nice circuit. I was really surprised about the fans and stuff like this. That was super good environment, and yeah, I really liked to race there until the rain came.
Because I was there, Glasgow's my hometown, so I live in Edinburgh now, but we went through and we were on the steep climb, the steepest climb, not the one where you had like all the fans out to the side, but the other one where it was
The
narrow.
smaller road.
So we were near the top of that,
Yeah.
and I have to say it's the most amazing experience of my life as a cycling fan watching,
Yeah.
and some riders loved it and you could tell, so others not so much.
No, but for me, it's like you get this vibe on top of a tour climb almost, because people went onto the road and only moved last moment. But and I never had this feeling in any other race. Or maybe in Basque also, but it was such amazing, and you just hear people from all countries just cheering, and it was really nice. I was so surprised, because going there, watching the route the first time, having the Scottish weather in mind, I was like, this can be a really, really shit day. And then I think if it wasn't for the protesters having us back for 1 hour, I think it would have been a lovely race.
Yeah, and the fans you were saying moving as where I was standing, the first couple of laps people were very respectful and staying back, and then as every lap went on, everybody started moving in, and
Yeah.
for me to be so close to you guys, like literally, we could have touched you. That
Yeah.
was something special, and I think everybody who went to the race came away thinking how good it was and maybe different compared to the people who watched it on TV.
Yeah. No, and I think that's also something that's so special about cycling, because, if some guys wanted to, they could push up off the bike, but we just have the trust that people are there to cheer and not to do stupid things. And you don't even have that doubt that people could really mess you up if they wanted to.
And there was one police person
Yeah.
on that whole climb. So it was almost like the fans were kind of sorting themselves out, but
Yeah.
again, respectful, wanted to get
Definitely.
close, but not to get in the way.
Yeah. For me, it's nice when fans are like this. Like when you could see them, they're moving in time,
So then we go to Denmark, Tour of Denmark in the Danish jersey, and stage three, you and Mads absolutely smash it. That was a brilliant stage to watch. And for you, that must have been pretty special. I was watching, thinking, oh, Mads is gone. That's it. And then you managed to bridge across and then you go together. And then well, I think you were the strongest that day. You then go on the final climb and take the victory. Super special, I imagine. Danish jersey, Tour de Denmark. That was brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, this stage on Kilsvej is the most famous stage in, if people that just know a little bit about cycling knows this stage, and it's the biggest scene in Denmark. And to win alone in the national jersey is probably one of the biggest win you can get as a Dane. And yeah, I don't know if I was the strongest that day, because Mads did a lot of work before, because he really wanted me to win. And I maybe could have dropped him on the last climb if I really wanted to, but I know for in fact he wanted me to win, so he wasn't going full on the last climb. I wanted him to win because of all the work. So it's special being in a situation where you can actually, give a win to another guy, and also with the relationship I have with Mads, it was just such a special day. I think Kim. Who's both of our director is he was crying, and he said the last time he cried was when Andy won on Galibier in 2011. So you can see how meaningful that win was.
At the end, did Maz shout for you to go? It was just near the top of the climb, wasn't it, before you turned, or did it?
No, it wasn't. I told him we're gonna do this together. And he said, yeah, we see. And I said, okay, we go together. Tell me if I go too fast. And then I saw in the end that he just wanted me to win. Also, in the end, we cannot fool around, because it was also about the GC and everything could happen. So we also needed to get as much time as possible. And Yeah, and then in the end, I took the win, and I'm super grateful that the MASS gave me this win. I think it was a little bit of payback for my work from Wales.
And you lost the Jersey final stage in the TT to Mads, but that day he was like a monster. There was, I don't think there was
Yeah.
anything anyone would have done to stop
No,
him winning.
I also said, like, even if I had the same legs as I had in Vallée-sur-Olon, I would not have beaten him. Like, even on my best day, I wouldn't have beaten him. So he deserved the win. And like, if I had to lose the jersey, of course it sucks. But I'm happy it was to him. I mean, he's one of my best friends and a teammate also. So we kept the 1-2, and everybody was happy.
Actually, I timed it. So Varinskjold was, I think he was leading, and Mads put something crazy like 8 seconds into him in the first kilometer of the time trial.
Yeah, that's typically my style. He goes balls out and see how long he can keep it.
That day, he kept it for a long time.
Yes.
So to the end of season, you head west. You win the Méridien Classic. You top 10 in both Quebec and Montreal. It's a long season. You started on the 1st of February, you finish on the 10th of September, but you managed to maintain good legs. The Maryland Classic, the team did a great job. How did you find the Canadian races? Because I think looking forward, certainly Montreal is one that could interest you in the future.
Yeah, for sure. No, I really liked the whole trip there. You know, it's the end of the season, and you know, we went Thursday to Maryland, when I think the race was Sunday, and then you know, we have a whole build up there in the US, just enjoying a little bit, like not vacation, but keeping a little bit calm. End of the season is quite good for the head, and I really like the trips there. And then the same in Quebec and Montreal. And yeah, I think maybe Quebec is difficult one for me because it's not that hard. And like you saw the Lee winning. And
Started
like,
his sprint like position 50.
yes, and like it was, we already went quite hard before that. And but when guys like Matthews and the Lee and guys like this are coming to the line, I have no chance. But I think Montreal is something really special, and I'm really looking forward to having the World Championship there.
Yeah, that'll be really good, I think.
Yeah, and I think even they're adding a climb more, so the loop will be even harder.
So you started the season with 2 wins. You end the season with 9 wins. You win your first World Tour stage in GC. Looking back, it's surely just a massive success for you.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm super happy about my season, and I surprised myself as well. But I still look back more at the mistakes I made and things I can improve for next year. Like I lost 2 GC wins in the last time trial. I had a bad Paris-Nice and Basque Country. I still didn't have a good result in the tour. I think for me, I always look more on the wrong, or not the wrong points, but the failures I had, because this is the places I can improve. You know, the wins is nice, but when you win, it means that you cannot improve that much. So I always look at the places where I had the most difficulties and see the mistakes I made, and then I know what to work on for this year.
And this year, it seems, if Pro Cycling Stats is to believe, the very traditional sort of route for you. Your Ardèche, Drôme, Paris-Nice, Basque, Ardennes, Dauphiné, and then Vuelta. So you seem to be, like many GC riders, going down the Ardennes kind of Grand Tour route. Have you had a chance to look at any of the Vuelta route yet?
You mean weekend rice?
No, just on computer.
Yeah, I did pretty much all of them. Straight
And, you
away.
know, classically speaking, you suit the Vuelta stages, you suit the Vuelta very well because you've got a very good kick. So I think it's probably quite a good choice for the team to go there, and that's been your first sort of big Grand Tour GC kind of target.
Yes, both route wise and also the fact that the Vuelta is maybe a little bit more Spanish style, you know, a little bit more tranquil late stages, and there's still a lot of media, but not as much as the tour. And I think it will be good for the head and a little bit easier to hopefully do a good GC there,
Yeah.
because it's less stressful for the head.
And goals, do you set yourself goals at the start of every season, or is that not your style?
Yeah, I set goals, but also it's difficult for me because like I have big goals in Ardennes, especially Liège. I have a big goal in Dauphiné, and I have a big goal in Vuelta. But I can also do really good in other races and then perform bad in these races and have a good season, but still not living up to the expectations I had. And I don't really set goals in that kind of way. I just say like these races I want to perform at, and it's for me success is different to like a good result always. You know, if I do Liège or I do Vuelta and I did everything perfect, I had no bad days, and I just wasn't better than a top 10, let's say, then it would be a great success. But if I do like fifth and I did mistakes, took a long pee break and could have been fourth or third, it would be like a big failure for me. So it's always I have to look at the race and how I did the race, and if I did everything I could, it will be a success no matter what. So I just say the races I want to perform in, and then I take it from there when I'm in the race.
Do you think you'll be able to match 7 wins like this season?
I think it will be difficult because I'm gonna race
Top races.
yeah, a lot higher quality races. But I'm gonna try for sure. And for that sake, I'll also have a big target in the national time trials. It was annoying this year, and I never know if I could have won, but next year I really want to have it.
And World Championship is a nice route for climbers as well. And if you're doing the Welter, then it's back at its normal place after the Welter.
Well, I'm gonna go 100% also for Olympics for that sake. Hopefully more for mass in the Olympics. Like it'll be similar to Glasgow, I believe. But yeah, Worlds 100%. If I'm mentally fresh, and yeah, I have the shape after the Worlds, I would 100% like to go.
How many spots do you have for the Danish team? Is it three? Two, three for
Four.
Olympics?
Oh, now we actually
One.
we're second in the world ranking.
Oh,
Yeah.
nice.
Yeah. Thank you, Jonas. It's
It's nice of him. And then he doesn't really bother taking part in these races as well. So.
I think now he actually really wants to go to the Olympics. So let's see if he takes a spot. I mean, he would deserve it. But yeah, we will have to see. You know, he's also really focusing on the tour, and he's a family man, so I would understand that he would spend time with his family. Also, I think it's 2028, where is it? Los Angeles, the Olympics. So probably it will be a better route for him there.
And it could be a crazy race with, I think four is the maximum that you can have, and most teams have kind of two, three, four. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, we're going to be 90 riders at the start. I think it will be completely carnage. Like 270Ks with 90 riders is. Yeah, I don't even know. It's gonna be Armageddon, I believe.
Good for us watching.
Yeah, I think it would be a
Good.
great race to watch, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's like a non-favorite winning.
Yeah, especially everybody looking at Van Aert and Van der Poel, and somebody goes early and never comes back. And the Danes have a very good record in championship races, don't they?
Yeah, we do. But I think we will need some luck, and I think the big nation will have to speak together and really understand that if the favorites wants to win, we need to work together also, because for sure, like the small nations with less people, they have nothing to lose there. So if they all agree, then we just go full gas, and then we see how it ends. Then we can have a really shit day.
See, now I'm excited, and we've got like 7 months to wait.
I think it's going to be a really great race. I really hope to race it.
Well, Matthias, thank you very much for your time. That was brilliant. Really enjoyed looking back at your excellent season and wishing you all success in 2024. Thank you.
Thank you for speaking with me. It was really nice.
Spectacular diagnostics. Full kumite, accumulate papes. First razor blade for the gate, we're moving weight to win the weight. Wise ways, precise aim. Trying to rhyme like this might leave your mind strained. The times change, flight delay, light haze. Thoughts looking like they foundation might cave. The look in my eyes resemble the ice age. The clocks of the crowd, the rent park is way park waves. Like moves on, move raw. Involuntarily eat your full paw. Feel like a painter who can't do wrong. Fellatio from lazy do fall to cocaine. But brought a broad brain with all game, you snow change. You do like a solid grand, probably 10. We push it in the hallway, on guard always.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, not daddy. Oh, yeah. I feel like, friendship is fossilized in amber. Wise commander, fuck all the lies and slanders. When it come to ill niggas, you sound like a standard. Fellas and quillers, I write the standards. Cobra, cuanto tu me cobra. Tengo dinero, pero no me sobra. You want the flake of the boulder, then I'm introducing the baking soda. Into the Yoda Palace, it's a gold, so blowing haze in circles in Minnesota. Buffaloes in their barrio. Drama with Disco King Mario. Shotty blow in the hands of the Sicario. I reload the peel off without watching his body fall. Porky ass in the Mardi Gras. Rainbow headband, Sylvester Stallone, skull and bone, herringbone, wishbone. Went out for the trophy and brought the shit home. Blowing loud Indo, chop the rock, 16-bit Super Nintendo. The cream rises in a crescendo, nigga. Well, now your daddy kicking at, you know what I mean? Jump off the motherfucking cliff live out the district, shit, my nigga. Word. Woo.